How many times have our patients returned to our office and are just stuck in the cycle of chronic inflammation? We throw everything we have at them, nothing changes, and even our dentists are frustrated. Rather than throwing our hands up and shrugging, we need to be turning to PerioTrace by PerioProtect. I have seen the evidence firsthand and have helped so many hygienists find this resource because it really works, which is why there are so many products on the market now trying to imitate them. The results are speaking for themselves, but rather than going with an unproven product, stick with the only periodontal medicine delivery system cleared by the FDA. And not only that, but their support team is seriously among the best I've ever encountered, from the education to implementation to support when there's the inevitable bumps on the road. They are there for you. If you want to get in contact with them to learn more about how you can treat your patients better, head over to perioprotect.com/RDH. And on that site, at the bottom is a contact form that you can fill out or simply email them directly to ask for help. This is one thing I truly believe should be in every dental practice. perioprotect.com/RDH to stop the cycle of chronic inflammation.
What are we doing?
Welcome, listeners, to another episode of LM2 Hygienists. My name is Andrew, and I'm with Michelle. Hi, Michelle.
And I guess we're just winging it this time. We're just going to wing it.
We are winging it.
All right.
Hold on. Well, first of all, listeners, we're still on hiatus. This doesn't count. The next three episodes, they count, but they don't count.
Is it three?
Yeah, we'll break this one up into three.
All right.
We recorded for over 2 hours.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's happening.
Okay.
I'm very hoarse today.
Why is that, you party animal? Tell us. Tell all the listeners.
Yeah, well, I will tell you about my party animaling, except for, you just spit on the...
No. Do I look grainy?
You always look grainy.
Okay. I didn't say pasty. I said I look grainy. Pasty, no, I know.
I am the pasty one in you this are. Relationship. I you am are. Pasty. Okay. So, first of all, listeners, this is what's coming up the next 3 weeks. Daniel and Michelle went to Uganda.
Woohoo!
And so, we talked a couple weeks ago, about their trip and being like 2 hours long. And so we're going to break it up over two, probably three episodes, kind of keep you guys around to just let you know that we're still here. But while we still do some editing and some fixing up of our podcast, we want to make it more professional-ish.
Ish. I'm still here. So it can only be so professional. We're going to make it sound very produced.
Better produced for sure.
Better
produced. We have one of our listeners, actually a couple of them, who have submitted some things that we're trying to review so we can try and incorporate their awesome voices into our podcast so you don't have to listen to us in your ears all the time. Oh, and you know what else we need to tell listeners is about our very exciting event happening in January.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You should do that since I'm just showing up. I don't even really know what's happening.
Okay. Well, and a lot of the thing that we made up the all the decision stuff while you were gone, you just submitted your bio for this. Anyways, listeners, go to voicesofdentistry.com and just go look at it. So first things first, we're having a a summit, I think is what they're calling it. Mm. It's a conference or a convention. You're going to get CE and all this stuff too, but it is all dental podcasters. It's freaking amazing.
So it's like if you listen to all the dental podcasts, like meeting a star and getting CE at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. I was listening to, okay, so Okay, so Alan Mead, everyone knows that he's one of our favorites. Great podcast. He, Jason Lipscomb, and Sean Vandeviver, and I believe Mark Costas is kind of, I think those four are kind of heading this thing up. And they have decided that why not bring, you know, their talents and abilities all into one place. So, like, Mark Costas is really famous for the business side of dental podcasting, all right? Just, like, explaining to everyone how you should run your business more effectively and make money. And so that's kind of the stuff that he's going to bring to the table. So he's going to bring in his own little crew. We have the Accidental Genius Boys are going to be there as well. They're going to bring men.
No, I
depends on what episode you listen to.
Yeah.
I think actually. Yeah. So
and so true.
But it's also gonna be a pretty wide range of things. So Dr. Russell Kirk is gonna be there, and he is an oral surgeon, I believe. Oral maxillofacial surgeon. Can't remember where he's at. I wanna say he's from the south somewhere. Tennessee maybe. Anyways. He'll be there, and so he has his whole thing of what he's going to be talking about. Anyway, it'll be great. It'll be fantastic. How many people are going to be there, do you know? Did you count? Dr. Saeed's going to be there. Malali's going to be there. Moody's going to be there. Austin's going to be there. Oh, Tarun's going to be there. Agarwal.
Mm-hmm. His sleep apnea stuff is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I like those videos that they've been doing lately. They've been doing a lot of Facebook Live stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Garrett Takis is going to be there. Did you know that?
No, that's cool.
So, yeah. He's one of your favorite people you always talk about.
Because I get his name of his podcast wrong.
Every time. Anyways, and then we'll be there. We're going to be the only hygiene team there, which is awesome.
Hopefully, anyways, we can come, represent you'll get, well.
I know. That's what I told him. I was like, I hope so. You'll get CE, you'll get Fed, yeah, and all that kind of stuff,
and
too.
And it's in Nashville. Look. And Nashville is
Nashville, yeah.
It's awesome.
And?
But it's in January. I've never been there in January. We're going to go to a lot of honky-tonks.
I don't know what that means, but...
What?
A honky-tonk?
You're going to just... You need to learn to love some country music. It reminds me
of, like, the trunk of a car for some reason.
What?
Honky-tonk. I don't know. You know what? Let's not talk about that because I don't want to get reamed by our listeners.
Because that's but you're nowhere near understanding Southerners.
Right. Dude, we should have a whole like episode about weird things that Southerners say that I don't understand.
Don't even start Pacific Northwest and you're Mormon.
We probably could.
Like double hitting
it. I think the dental guys, Wes and John, right? They have a podcast. They're Southern. I feel like almost everyone here is like Southern that's going to this little podcast convention.
No, I'm Alan's in what, it's a Michigan? Lot, though.
Yeah, Alan doesn't count though.
Yeah.
He does count. I mean he counts a lot.
Mike Catola is like there's good majority. California. Well he'll be North Carolina by that time, I think.
See, he's adopted basically.
Into the worst state of it all.
Dr. Saeed is North Carolina as well. And Moody, I can't tell where Moody, I think he's from South Dakota or something, though, but it sounds like he's got some Southern in him. But I don't know. Anyways, that's what's going on in January. So go to voicesofdentistry.com. It's going to be great. You're going to hear this pitch a lot. So get used to it now, our friends and listeners. Yeah.
Guess what else happened this weekend? I am going to be speaking at Smiles at Sea.
You are. That is going to be really fun.
Yeah, at 7 a.m. Lord help me.
I don't know.
There's like a delay there because no one's going to show up at 7 a.m.
I mean, like, yeah, people are not. But that's maybe a good thing, too. I've always liked to be on the early speaking docket, like in Vegas, I was like happy to speak in the morning.
God, no. The last show that I did that was in Vegas and I had like an 8:30 thing. I mean, like half the people showed up and the guys that ran the show. They're like, I just don't understand. I was like, you made a show begin at 8:30 in Vegas. It doesn't happen any other show. Like that's stupid. I don't know what that was. That just happened.
That was a wink to my wife because she's hot. Anyways, I'm keeping up the podcast too.
Hi, Allison.
Michelle and all our listeners say hi, Allison.
Hi, everybody.
She says hi, listeners. Okay, so Smiles to See is going to be great, especially more now because you're speaking. What are you speaking on?
Implant maintenance.
Great.
So you can learn all you ever wanted to know about implants, Andrew.
I will actually go to that because it is quickly becoming something that I'm very engaged in and involved in, and I'm loving it. I still don't see enough cases though to really like feel like I could be.
Are you just not? Is your office just not restoring many implants, or nobody in your corporate office places it? Places them.
No, we do. No, we actually have specialists in our office that place them, and we.
So how are you not seeing
them? Very number one tooth replacement option for patients, but the patients, I think it's just the area still that there's just not a lot of people that are opting for that. Cost.
Interesting.
Still, they're not. Yeah. And I just don't know. I mean, because we always offer that is our number one. We tell everyone every single time. They're like, oh, we should have a bridge. I'm like, yeah, but a bridge is not your best option, especially on these virgin teeth right next to that tooth that had to come out.
Yeah.
You know, why would you desecrate these teeth adjacent just to.
What is there? You know, where's their pushback then?
It's financials. It's almost always financials.
Well, I mean,
it's still in our area for a good one. I mean, because you can always do the, $750 ones, mm-hmm. and you just don't know the type of people that are doing them, and you don't know what kind of implants they are. And so we don't refer people to a specific person outside of our company. So if they're being with our company, I think it's about $300 or something like that for the implant and the crown.
Oh, that's so cheap.
That's what we say.
But then how much is a bridge? Three-unit bridge.
It's maybe I can't speak to I probably can't say it on air, but it is very inexpensive. The range, because we are managed care, we can kind of control the costs and things like that. The range is probably going to be for a three-unit bridge between and maybe up to $1,000 total out of pocket for them. Yeah, it's really good. Like, we have really good insurance. Like, we really take care of our patients.
Wow, do you see my mouth literally dropped open?
That's the alternative, though, too.
But how long is that bridge?
Care.
Yeah, I guess so. That's just so strange.
So it's different.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's almost like the managed care is not allowing the patient to make the best decision for themselves.
No, I mean, because we still push that. We tell them, I mean, we're very, very upfront. I mean, financially, yes.
No, and I mean, I guess, no, I don't mean that y'all are not helping them, but it's because it's so inexpensive that they are not making the better decision for themselves.
Right, right.
Preserving the bone would be the best decision.
But what are you going to do? I mean, the overhead for, to fabricate a three-unit bridge is going to be a lot less expensive than a decent fabricating of a crown plus a implant.
Well, so, I guess that
unless you use really crappy materials.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it depends on your markup over on your implant and bone and things like that.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know.
Continue on what you were saying.
Anyways.
Smiles at Sea.
So, Smiles at Sea is going to be fantastic. And we're going to have a booth there also.
On that Thursday morning before we
may
bark on our.
Or may not have something
there. We're working on that. I've kind of forgotten.
We'll try not to forget. We're talking about t-shirts. We're gonna have t-shirts
put that
sometime.
On my to-do list tomorrow.
Just a Tale of Two Hygienists t-shirt. We're not gonna mark them up and try to make a bunch of money on it. It's just something to get the brand out there. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be really fun. And You know what else? Speaking of t-shirts, it's time for a giveaway.
Yeah.
Andy RDH. We hit 1,000 likes on our Facebook page. So thank you, everyone. Tell your friends. Let's get up there.
Yeah, but also tell your friends to listen.
Oh, yeah. Tell your friends to listen, too.
Because after this weekend and after today's shenanigans, we need to be educated as a profession. And a podcast literally are the easiest, cheapest way to do that, to stay informed.
Yeah.
And that's we have to step it up as a profession. I'm not even going to treat it like this is like something that you should do. You should be doing it. Like, you should not just our podcast, you should be listening to any form of medium that will give you enough knowledge so that you are staying current, because I can't handle it anymore. Like this.
Well, you know, and I like the magazines and stuff, but I mean, let's be honest. Like, you have to sit down and read them.
Right.
Whereas, you know, these podcasts, you just put them in, and it's like,
yeah,
you get a little Michelle and Andrew in your ears, and
I listen while I do my makeup and my hair, and I listen while I do my chores and driving. Like, people, they gotta start. Like, they gotta find a way to become educated, because it.
So let's talk about the elephant in the room. Let's talk about kind
of why Michelle is annoyed again.
Okay, but for good reason, and I have a little tangent I want to take off. Okay, so let's set it up. What happened first?
What, just today?
Yeah, what today?
Okay,
let's only talk about today's thing, not the whole everything.
Okay, so today, there was a post on RDH magazine of an illustrator, and it was depicting the curvy root surfaces in between teeth and when to choose a interdental brush, floss, or toothpick. And people could not understand, like, one, they had to be like negative Nancy's right out of the gate and like talk crap about this ad, which was giving a free illustrator to people. Like, why even waste your time writing something? If you don't have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all. I mean, is this not something we were
Hold on. Let's set up better for our listeners, just in case they haven't actually seen the ad.
I'm sorry.
So you talked about what it looks like. And okay. So basically the ad was saying, it was like a free giveaway for this same picture that they could use to talk to their patients, like as a patient education tool.
Right.
Right? Okay. And then the very first comment that was made on there wasn't about the product. It was about the drawing, about how they didn't understand, as a dental professional, what the drawing was of.
Oh, no. They said something like, when in dental anatomy class did we learn that teeth were the shape of an hourglass?
Yeah.
And I was like,
I was going to say like week 4, I think is when we learned about fluting. I think I'm pretty sure. And like furcations and stuff. I'm pretty sure we went over all that kind of stuff too.
So, okay. Even if you could concede that it is not a perfect anatomy on this diagram, it still is a simplified way to show patients that teeth are curvy between, especially when you have bone loss and attachment loss. Underneath that contact point, teeth become extremely curvy, especially as we go into the posterior, starting with the fluting or that mesial root concavity on our first premolars, where so many people are always bleeding. Like, no matter how much they floss, they always get a little bit.
All the time.
Yeah, exactly. So this is just showing and helping patients understand that there is a time for floss and there's a time for an interdental brush. And when you hit a curvy root surface, that floss is going to hit the high spots. It's not going to get down into the curvy concavities of a tooth. And this showed an interdental brush swooping into the curviness and cleaning it out.
Right.
I shouldn't say everyone, because by the end of the day, everybody was like, y'all are being ridiculous. This makes complete sense. And there was even a patient that commented on an RDH magazine.
Hold on. Shout out to Cody Call.
Oh,
right?
He said,
he's actually my friend.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, I haven't talked to him since 2004.
Did he just see
Probably,
that
so
you
it's
commented
been
and
12
then
years.
commented
I
on
think
that?
so.
That's so
I'm not really
funny.
sure. But shout out to you, Mr. Call, for being awesome. But yeah, he's like, I'm a pay. Okay, so yeah, they're like, I don't understand what I'm looking at. Well, it's like, is it from the side? Is it for the, occlusal? I'm assuming it's an occlusal view. And a lot of people comment on the occlusal view. And then he's like, yeah, I can tell as a patient that this is from a top down based on what I'm looking at. So he's like, just like calling out all these people that have a problem with the picture. Anyways, so here's my thing about the whole about all of this. I don't want to call out those people individually. I mean, because
No,
there's I think
no.
there's two problems with this. One, people just being mean to be mean,
Right.
right? I see something, I'm gonna be mean about it, whatever. Even if they're trying to make a joke about it, they could have maybe come across in a different way. I made a comment on there, said, I was like, well, obviously it's this, this, and this, and that's what they're trying to get at. Well, someone's like, well, obvious to who? I'm like, well, I don't want to fight you. I want to,
I will,
be
Andrew won't.
open. I won't. No. Because I think that everyone needs to be educated, though. But here's kind of my problem. Two things with this. One, honestly, and this is gonna hurt.
No, it's not the best drawing.
No, it's no, not you. It's not gonna hurt
Oh.
you. I don't care about the drawing. But if you honestly couldn't infer what the message was from that picture's been around a long time. That's not a new picture. Okay, if you can't infer that, then you are not as educated and not, and I can understand why your doctor doesn't like you. Like, I know it's because, you know what? Because you don't have deductive reasoning skills. That's what
Right.
that tells me. This is very central to, and you know what? You're probably missing a lot of calculus. You're probably burnishing the crap out of stuff. And so I'm already kind of mad at that thing because I feel that the education level across the board is not the same. And now I get why doctors from different parts of the country, when I talk to them at these board
They
meetings,
get
why
frustrated
they're
with the
like,
hygienist.
yeah, my hygienists are stupid. I'm like, no, they're not. Hygienists are awesome. And then they're like, then we go start getting into stuff and we start talking. And they're like, wow, how do you know this so much? I'm like, from school. I was taught all this stuff in school. And they're like, yeah, my hygienists don't know that. I'm like, ah, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. But then I see stuff like this. I'm like, okay, well, obviously, maybe it's not the same. Secondly, if we want to have portability, and all these people that complain about why can't I just go from one state to another? Well, this is why.
Yeah.
Because the level of education in certain places is not the same as other places. And I don't know if it's a north, south, east, west, middle of the country, coastal, whatever. I don't really care what it is, but there is definitely a difference. I will tell you right now, I saw my the director at this meeting I was at this weekend from my school. I guarantee she did not think that I was going to be doing the things that I'm doing now. I guarantee she did not think that I was going to be like teaching
Yeah.
and instructing and lecturing
It's
because
because you
I was
slept
stupid.
your way through school,
I was
Andrew.
stupid and I slept my way through school. I didn't get good grades. I got very, very poor grades in hygiene school the first year. Second year was better, but not by, a whole much. But I passed all my boards. Like I got the concepts, just maybe not in the way that they wanted me to get them. But I've taken a lot of CE courses since then. I've remembered a lot of things, and then I see them later on. Anyways, that's my whole rant is, you know what? We're not going to have portability of our licenses from one state to another until everyone gets on the same page, and that page is going to be at the very highest standard. We're not going to go to Texas and say, okay, everyone needs to be at the level of Texas where they can't give injections.
Well, and I don't even
No.
think it's state to state though. It's still within the state. Like I can get the same I can if even with okay, South Carolina, where we cannot do a lot of the things that you can do in Washington, but I mean, I'm as fully educated in something, not restorative wise, we've all know say that. But I mean, I can continue to get my CEs and I'm continuing to get but
Yeah.
the next office to me will not have that same level of education. I don't even think it's like from a state to state thing. I think it is I don't have a desire to continue being educated. I'm getting the bare minimum and I'm just going to show up from work and clock in and clock out and not do any like critical thinking throughout the freaking day. I'm just going to do the bare minimum CE credits and I'm just going to show up and then I'm going to whine and complain about why my dentist won't give me a raise and why they don't respect me and why I, hygienists will never progress into their own, like, to be seen as therapist. That part is what drives me insane. And So I was at a meeting this weekend with Eva Khalil, who was a guest, who is awesome.
Shout out to Eva.
What's up, Eva? And at the very end of her presentation, she did this video that showed, it was just like a very motivational video talking about like just to be that exceptional person, be that clinician that is exceptional. And it only takes just a little bit more to drive yourself in a different direction. So like, yeah. Don't just settle for the basics. Don't settle for what you learned in school. If I hear one more person that says that flossing is the end all be all, I might lose my shit. I'm not even kidding, because flossing is great in some instances, but you need to be educated about where this information in this new study that not new, it's actually been a study around for years. But why the media took that like a little bit of information, and you need to be so fully informed. So when your patient comes to you with this crap that the media said they don't have to clean between their teeth anymore, you can say, like, this is the research, but you know what, let's have this conversation, because maybe flossing is not the best option for you. And you need to find what it is. It could be a water flosser, interdental brushes, on the go options, whatever it is. There was more hygienists out saying, oh, I didn't realize that that was a thing, than there were saying, oh yeah, totally, this makes complete sense. And it's so frustrating, especially for those who don't just want to go in and clock out, and they want to make a difference and they want to see this profession grow, because what we do freaking matters. It does. Mm-hmm.
It really does.
We are therapists, and dentists go for a very long time to dental school to learn to treat problems. And we go to school for a really long time to learn to prevent those problems. And we need to start believing in ourselves and taking that serious, and that we're not just tooth cleaners or scrapers anymore. It's just, it's so frustrating. It really is.
Listeners, we're sorry that we kind of are preaching the choir, because if you're listening to this podcast,
it's the same crap another podcast.
No, they're the people that, you know, this is their career and they believe in it, and they seek out, you know, more than other people.
The bare minimum.
Do. So, yeah. So sorry, listeners, you still get to listen to us rant and rave. So. Let's talk about some other things, maybe that aren't so pissy and grumpy. But.
Can I just tell you, though, that I, after our RDH meeting, and after we, do you remember, like, the theme was kind of like finding the right vocabulary to be more positive, or like some of.
I remember that they told you that often, yes. Addie DeGangi, I believe. I mean, I could be totally wrong, but
no,
yes.
No, that's not her at all. And actually, did she say that?
Yeah, she called you out a couple times, I believe.
What did I say? I don't remember any
just
of that.
Just wait till the episode airs again, so you can remember all of it.
You just want to point hers out because she agreed with you, and that is it.
I love her.
Only shout because she agreed with you. But don't worry. Yeah, I got my end that'll agree.
Here's the thing. When people agree with me, then they know that they're finally right about stuff.
No.
Just like, yeah, well, welcome to the crowd, because we've been right for this whole time. So it's been pretty fantastic.
Moving on.
Okay, go ahead. Wait, you tell one thing. I got another thing for you.
So I read a book, or listened to a book, when I was going to Africa. It was on stoicism and just trying to learn to look at an obstacle, and instead of getting worked up over it, to look at it and just from a more just stoic, like, don't let it get you down. Like, you can work around it, or just approach it not in such an irrational manner.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't even say like, yeah, like you don't do it. Don't, because
I'm
you,
the most level-headed,
you
not
are so,
playoff,
so full of crap.
Regular, cool person.
You're so full of crap. I am definitely a reactor, 100%. We say it all the time on this podcast. So I'm trying not to be a reactor, even though I really do think my reaction is usually from a very good place. Like, obviously, I feel like my first reaction is usually a good first reaction, And then I try, like, for, there's one person I have in mind where I was like, yeah, no, that person's awful. And then I gave them the benefit of the doubt. And I was like, oh, maybe I overreacted. And now I've kind of come back around to that first impression where I'm like, they're not a good person. I don't like them. So sometimes
yeah, you gave them a shot.
I did. I feel like that first reaction was a very spot on reaction. I don't know. What do you want to say?
Don't doubt yourself. Okay. So I want to talk about our Facebook page for a minute. The one that we have over 1,000 likes on now. Thank you, everyone. So we posted that video. Do you remember that video we posted of Autumn Jordan Porter about, like, she's like, if you,
oh, yeah,
we tell you to turn your head, look like that.
You turn your eyes.
First of all, thank you, Autumn. Shout out to Autumn for letting us post it. I asked her if we could post it, and she said yeah. So thank you for letting us do that. That was a really good video. That one, just from our listeners, our fans, whatever, 2,500 people saw it or whatever, right? So we posted a few other things, a couple hundred people, posted like five, six things. Okay. Then I post something yesterday that has over 2,000 people that looked at it already, but it's the Rockstar Horchata energy drink. So you posted like this really cool video about that singing dentist guy.
Oh, yeah.
And we did a survey, and all of those just only got like a couple hundred. Why do you think it is that over 2,000 people saw this photo and only a couple hundred on the other ones?
I have no idea.
I don't know the answer to it. I think it's just funny because everyone knows how much I love my rock star. Ugh. Do you know what horchata is? Have you ever heard of that?
No.
Like, I think you're not actually supposed to say the H. You're supposed to say horchata, but whatever. It's a drink. Okay, so in Yakima, we had a huge Hispanic population. And so you'd go to these little, taco trucks and stuff like that, and they would have, most of them would just have, like, tacos and other really cool, like, Mexican deliciousness. But then there's this other one that had, like a fruit drink stand, and one of the drinks they had was horchata, which is kind of like a milky kind of drink. I think it has some nuts and stuff like that in it, too, and I think cinnamon. It goes on top of it, or they put some sticks in it.
Is it a Mexican, like a Mexican drink?
Yeah.
Like a milky...
I believe it is from Mexico.
Yeah.
I just know that. Anyways, in Kansas City they had this rock star, and I've never seen it anywhere around here, but I was too chicken to try it. I don't know if I like it or not.
Are you still back on that? I mean, you've gone fully back on your rock star.
I mean, no, yes and no. I don't know. Not every day. It's not one of those things. It's not like it was. But I feel like I don't seek it out, but I don't mind it anymore. So I'll have
several
a week still.
So I don't understand. Why? Why?
I don't know. Why do people drink coffee?
Because it tastes good.
No, it doesn't.
It does. Oh, I love coffee.
Coffee is an acquired taste.
Wait, so remind me on your 23andMe, did it say that you could drink more caffeine than the average person?
Yeah. Yeah. I was more higher tolerance, whatever it was. So I also tried, just so everyone wants to know this, I'm sure, I tried some Amp. I haven't had an Amp for like years, probably 2008, 2009. And they have this, like, the sugar-free kind that is watermelon. And normally I hate the watermelon flavors, but this one was so tolerable.
Tolerable. And I felt great. It was so tolerable that I choked it down. Like, why waste your time trying to do that? Oh, my gosh. I don't
and
even
they also had like a
that's
blueberry
just...
grape something one that was delish.
You are going to be I'm going to shame you on energy drinks, and I shame our buddy Daniel on his sugar intake. That boy loves some sugar. So I'm going to sugar shame him, and I'm going to rock star and shame you.
It's not going to make a difference. I'll say that right now.
I like the sodas in Africa were so freaking sweet. I think I took like 3 sips and I was like, bleh. And he's like chugging it down, like could do it breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and maybe even in the middle of the day.
So they were different? Like, so it was cane sugar or what?
Probably.
What was the difference?
Well, yeah. So my understanding, I met some Coke representative and they said that they manufacture with local like sugar everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, so yeah. In the U.S., it's our crap sugar. If you go to Nicaragua, it's the sugar cane. So it's just very sweet, a lot sweeter. But anyway, where are we going with this podcast? So we're going to be starting.
That's pretty much.
We're going to be starting.
Yeah, we'll do the first part of it.
Okay. So Daniel and I talk about our trip to Uganda.
All the preparation. Like, I think we'll do the preparation and that kind of stuff. And then we'll stop it and make it a cliffhanger. Bum, bum, bum.
Such a cliffhanger. Well, we survived. We made it back. So not much of a cliffhanger, I guess.
But not fully intact. Well, yeah,
it's
fully
true.
Intact.
Fully intact,
it
but
wasn't
without...
like that one guy that I won't give it away, but...
Oh, yeah. And
body parts are flying across the room.
You're going to have to tell me where we shut it off because then I'll post the appropriate pictures that go with stories.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, or you can just listen to it and post the pictures. You know, whatever.
But I was there to witness the interview. Why do I got to listen to it?
Yeah, we'll see about that. All yeah. Right. Anything else you want to say before we cut this off?
That
I miss you, listeners. Oh,
I was gonna
yes,
say.
I do have something. Mm-hmm. I have something to say. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Lisa. I think her last name is Barr. So Lisa came to the booth, and we met her at the booth at ADHA. And let me tell you guys a story that's really embarrassing. I'm really sorry.
ADHA or RDH?
ADHA.
Oh, okay.
Pittsburgh.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think I've said this 1,000 times. I am really bad with names and faces. Mm-hmm. I think the only reason, like, my saving grace. Yeah, I don't. And my only saving grace is that I see people's like Facebook posts, and I can put names and faces get a little bit together. So she came. She's from Wisconsin, just like our buddy Matt. Shout out to Matt. And she came with Ashley. And we had a picture with them, and we posted it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, I think we talked mostly to Ashley, but I'm not really for sure. I don't remember how the conversation really went. I'm sorry I don't remember everyone, whatever. Well, I saw her at this meeting. So I went to a Credits annual meeting. Credits, the examining agency. And she was there. And I saw her on, like, the first day. I'm like, I feel like I've seen her before. She looks really familiar. I'm like, well, maybe, you know, I've seen her Facebook or Lighthearted RDH or whatever. I've seen people. And then Sarah Thiel, shout out to Sarah. She was there also because she's an examiner for credits. And
are
so
you allowed to be saying that stuff?
Yeah. Yeah. We just can't say like where, like when we're examining at what place, blah, blah, blah.
Okay. Just making sure you still have jobs.
And because credits is so awesome. I'm pretty sure I can say that too. It is so, like you couldn't like fudge the score if you wanted to. I do have more I could talk about credits. Because I'm an extremely hard, aggressive grader. We got all of our stats back. And they have, like, they have everybody on this line of, like, where you're at, like, for detecting calculus, like, the second time around, make sure they removed it all. And everyone was like, here, boom, 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 boom. I'm, like, way over here.
Like,
and
you're
everyone
still
goes back
feeling
in the
it?
Middle. I'm the outlier. Like, I said, nope, it's still there. Nope, it's still there. Nope, it's still there. Because it was there. It's just... I need to calibrate myself to see like what is minimally minimal competency or whatever that I'm just like, no, there's still stuff there. I feel stuff. So, gotta rein that back in. So apparently, I'm really mean. But I'll get nicer and better calibrated. Let's put it that way. Anyways, so I saw her the second day too, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's her. I'm just gonna go talk to her. It was like a morning thing. Like, oh, and Sarah and I were actually gonna talk to her, and Sarah was gonna like look for a name badge and say, hey, do we know you? I'm like, don't do that. Don't embarrass everybody, because what if we don't know her and whatever. And so then I saw her in the morning, and I was like, hey, I was like, you look really familiar. And she's like, yeah, we met at ADHA. And I'm like, I'm really sorry. And I was like, I think your name's Lisa. And luckily it was. This one time I got it right. But then there was another person there from Albuquerque when I went down there and spoke. And I think she's the president of their state association, I think. And I didn't recognize her. And I'm just really sorry. I don't recognize people, like, ever.
Unless they're Asian. And then you recognize them. You've said that on the podcast before. You see,
I don't know if I have actually.
You have said that actually.
All white people look alike. All white people look alike.
You
I don't know why.
Asian
people
I just better.
I want maybe.
What? Oh, you broke.
I don't know. They're okay. So we went out last night. I went to the Howl at the Moon in Kansas City. And are you dying?
Me?
Yeah.
A little bit. Okay. Yeah, I'm good.
And there are two Asians in the band. I bet you I could see them both on the street in like New York City, and I probably still recognize who they were.
It's just very.
Couldn't tell you about the other ones.
You were so strange.
Yeah. Sorry. I don't know.
It's all right. Some people see certain facial structures and features.
It is a total feature thing. Like, that draws my eye. It's like, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Anyways. Sorry about a blanket apology to everyone. So sorry when I don't recognize you, even though I've met you 5 or 6 times.
Good job, Andrew.
The end.
The end?
I have my story, but that could be also the end of this.
Well, we should just say that eventually we are going to go back to a newer, more structured format. So story time with Michelle will return eventually. And
scaling the web with Andrew
as a new segment that we're gonna have.
As a new segment,
we might even have a few guest segments.
Yes.
So, and I'm actually really excited to start launching our RDH interviews because they were so great. Yes,
they're really good. By the time we get a couple of them out, though, we'll be at Smiles at Sea, and we'll have a whole bunch of new great ones for that, too. I'm hoping to have Trisha O'Hare back on the program.
Yay, Trisha!
And I would love to have some sort of a round table there with all the people, and we'll finally get Elijah Desmond on the podcast. We've been working on it, people. Don't worry. But, I mean, it's just, you know, he's a busy man, and we wanted to get in-person interview, so it sounds awesome. I listened to him on Howard Foran, and it was amazing. He did a really good job explaining all the different companies and stuff that he's had and kind of his path as a hygienist. So, shout out to Josie Sewell, by the way. She was on Howard Foran's podcast a little while ago, and I just listened to the whole entire episode, and it was phenomenal on autism.
I was going to say, was it on autism?
She is so good. I love Howard, but he kind of rants a little bit. And he's hard to control. She did a really, really good job with that. Like, keeping
Him back in a little bit.
Even when he had a couple of questions that weren't quite like, maybe, they're like more like my questions, not journalistic. They're just like a little off tangent or whatever. And she somehow found a way to weave that back into her message, and she is a true professional. So
that's awesome. I'll have to listen to
that one too. Yeah, that's great.
Very good. All right. So we will go back to
Good.
normal, structured podcasting eventually. So
Probably
maybe
3 or 4 weeks is what we're looking at.
yeah, and we'll have
We'll
maybe
do your
less
Uganda stuff in the
tantrum.
next couple of weeks.
Yeah, less tantrums. At least for me.
Well.
Well, we'll just shorten the intro enough so I don't have time to lose my mind on a topic that is currently annoying me.
Let's not make too many promises
I'm
yet.
gonna try to be more stoic, at least in some instances.
All right.
All right,
Sure.
guys.
I'll believe it when I see it.
All right, Andrew. Let's
All
finish
right.
this up.
Bye, listeners. We love you.
Bye, y'all.
Have a good week.
Hey, can we start this podcast?
Sure.
And
All right.
all right.
All
Good.
right.
We're
Is this.
started. So back up to before the flight and before Daniel is snoring to like your guys' pre. Okay, hold on. Let's go back into the very last podcast where you guys had made a
Decided we were
prediction.
going to
Yeah. From then until when you got back, I want the whole story. Go.
Until the prophecy is fulfilled.
Until the
Yes.
prophecy has been
Wait, can
fulfilled.
I ask though, and this is going to be edited out.
No editing.
Daniel, are you still having an existential crisis? Or are you kind of
I
back to
wouldn't call
normal?
it a crisis.
I want to talk about
I
that
mean, you
too.
called it a crisis, so I'm just wondering if it's still a crisis or
I was
it's
being
been. Which I love.
melodramatic.
Yeah, that's at the end of the podcast though,
Okay,
because
I'm just
I already
curious if
asked
it's
if we talked
still
about it.
remaining or if it's tapered off and you've come back to reality.
No, it's still there.
We're sure. Okay, so after our last podcast, you were going, and so we went. So we
And
met at
so you had to get, hold on, tell me about like the shots and the pre-packing
I
and
didn't know
like all that kind of
shots because
stuff.
I had all of mine that lasted like 5 to 10 years. So Daniel could go on that one.
Yeah, I had yellow fever, which was awful because it feels like they're injecting magma into your arm. Like I've never yelped at a shot, and I yelped at this.
Oh,
But I also had to take the typhoid vaccine, which I messed up like half the people
obviously, you
did.
are not vaccinated for typhoid.
Yeah, which only concerned me when I got baby fisted.
We'll explain more later.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then I also had ciprofloxacin for like if I got traveler's diarrhea, which I didn't get any of. So it was all pretty good.
No, so for to
But I
go to
couldn't
Africa,
vaccinate
yeah.
against you.
There's no vaccine for me. I'm sorry. So to go to Africa, you need yellow fever, and that's good for 10 years. You need typhoid, and if you take oral typhoid vaccination, it's good for 5 years. But you have to be careful with it because it has to be refrigerated and it has to be within, what, 10 days of malaria meds, which I think are two things that Daniel did not do. Was not
Yeah, I didn't.
refrigerated. It was not within 10 days.
Yeah, but I didn't refrigerate my typhoid. It turned.
And you have to have the other things like tetanus and your is it DTP? Which I don't remember what that stands for, but you have to have some whatever that is. You have to
Down
have
target.
hepatitis B, which obviously all of us as healthcare workers typically have, and hepatitis A, which if you have hepatitis A first shot, and then when you have hepatitis A second shot within 6 months, you're pretty much good for life, like you are hepatitis B. So you have to have those. What else is
I
there?
would recommend tuberculosis considering our
Oh yeah,
experience.
TB. Yeah.
I already had it though because I have
Yeah.
to for
And I feel
work.
like that's a pretty common healthcare provider thing that you should be doing on a routine basis. That's it, right? Rabies? No. That's after the fact. I don't remember. We'll go on. We'll go into more about the bats that lived in our dental clinic that I'm pretty sure had rabies.
So, of that yellow fever, I was reading somewhere. I think it might have been on the website that you have to have a yellow card.
Oh yeah, it's yellow
they
card.
Actually, check all that.
I pretty much keep mine with my passport, and they check. And I'm doing air quotes when I say they check to see if you have your yellow card. I literally could have cut up a card, like a construction paper that was yellow and wrote lines on it, and I think that would have sufficed.
The stamp that they're looking for.
Yeah. But they looked at it briefly.
Some guys came in without it, and they took them off to a booth where I think they just gave them the shot right there before they came in.
And I know our medical director kind of was like, Liz and I've had it. We're good. And they were like, all right, you're good. So, I mean, I guess it depends on who you talk to and how, and if you have money in your pocket, too. I think that matters.
Money goes a long way. Trinkets go a long way.
Trinkets go a long way. Yes. Yes. So you have
the art of bartering.
So what else did you guys have to prepare?
A lot of bartering. So we all have our shots. So you get your shots, especially before Africa. So Daniel's obviously coming from New York, and I'm coming from Charleston, and we met in D.C., which is really the first place that we've met face-to-face. It was like I was walking up, and he was walking up, and I was like, oh, my best friend that's in front of me. Look at this. It's magical.
Did you hug?
I did. Well, I hugged him. Yeah. I don't know if it was a hug. Like, it was consensual. It was me hugging Daniel. Yes.
I was so nervous around everybody.
Were you?
Mostly because this sounds terrible, but everybody was white, so I was like, oh my god.
Yeah, I guess yes, very true. Because the two black girls that we met were already there, so they were not even on the trip, like to go over there with us. That's so true.
Oh my god, I'm the only one.
Minority. I didn't even think about that. But it's also difficult. I mean, when you are joining a team in an airport and you don't even know who you're looking for either. Yeah. I mean, if you had not seen me or if I had not seen you, like, that would have been probably a little stressful too, getting to know people.
Imagine.
Especially you, Andrew, since you're such an introvert.
Yeah.
I'm the same way. I get super, like, really high social anxiety until, like, somebody...
Which is weird, because I don't think I didn't really know that about you until we actually met in person as well. This is different than online, Daniel.
Yeah, I'm very introverted in person.
Very vocal.
Not Michelle.
I think I'm the opposite.
You are super opposite.
Yeah, so we met in D.C. and... then embarked upon our, 13-hour flight? To Ethiopia. And luckily, we were one seat ahead of him, like the same row and everything, which was fun. And that's when he took a picture of me in my cocoon. So I took a melatonin, and I knocked myself out.
Somehow in the between stage of her larva to adult metamorphosis, she stole my USB wire.
Listen, I don't know how that happened. I woke up and there was this like orangey pink USB wire in my lap. And I was like, what is this? Is this? I assumed that somebody had crawled over me to go to the bathroom while I was in my cocoon stage and wasn't moving. And it was neither of the people next to me. So I was like, that's weird. I'm just going to hang that right there. Maybe somebody dropped it on their way to the bathroom. And then he was like, have you seen that USB cord? I was like, this is yours? Like, I've been wondering whose USB cord, how it landed in my lap. That's very interesting.
So let me ask you this before, though. So who made your res's flight arrangements?
The company. One World Health did. Yeah.
Okay. So you guys didn't get to pick your seats then, or they didn't put you all together?
I think they lump us together as much as they possibly can, depending on how full the flight is.
Mm-hmm. And how big was the airplane?
Oh, okay. 777.
Yeah, it was a big plane. And let's talk about our experience with Ethiopian Airlines and the flight attendants and how much food they serve you and how they bother you even if you're sleeping. Daniel doesn't sleep, though.
Yeah, they feed you every two hours,
but Daniel doesn't sleep.
I think strategically. Somehow I managed to sleep just enough that I didn't have problems getting to bed in Uganda, and I didn't have problems getting to bed back in the U.S.
That's impressive.
So nice. It's something like
that. So in Ethiopia Airlines, they feed you about every 2 hours, and they will wake you up regardless of if you have an eye mask and you are in your cocoon. They will wake you
up. So where were you flying from then? So you flew from D.C. to Ethiopia, and then flew Ethiopia Airlines to Uganda?
Uganda. And that's like a two-hour flight. I think we had like a two-hour layover or something in Ethiopia, which is always an eventful airport. So it's very cold. Oh, so cold. And there was a bird. Cold. What?
It wasn't that cold. You just have like 2 ounces of blood and you're cold.
I think that might be it. I literally might have 2 ounces of blood flowing through my veins. And
I think you're a reptile.
I agree. I think I'm a turtle. I come out and the sun is out and I bathe in it. And then I go back in. I found it to be freezing. I need to go get my charger for my computer. Anyway, and then we fly to Entebbe, and then we drive, 5 hours from the airport to the hotel. But first and foremost, we have to get all of our stuff that we've shipped. So the thing that Daniel missed when we were in Charleston is that that's where One World Health is in Charleston with me, and we ship things over, like crutches and new stethoscopes and for me, in us in dental, I shipped everything over, so we had two dental chairs, aka gravity, was it no gravity or gravity chairs, zero gravity chairs. Like lawn chairs, those were our dental chairs, so I shipped those over, and they were like packed with gauze and toothbrushes and our glutaraldehyde, that's our cold sterile, that's how we sterilize instruments and our instruments and everything that you think you would need for a dental outreach, we have to ship over. And so I did. I wrote all on those boxes, Jesus saves. Because I was told
and why
that
did you do that?
Less theft with boxes. Because when you go out of the states, especially in countries and especially certain countries in like Africa, there's less theft when you put Jesus all over it. So I said, Jesus answers prayers. God saves. Jesus saves. God bless you. I put all kinds.
You know, we did that in the Philippines though, certain too. Countries. I mean, every time people send stuff, they put stickers of Jesus
big
on there
everywhere.
Or, you know, him carrying the little lamb and all that kind of stuff. Crosses, whatever,
If I have to bring a big box next time, I'm going to put pentagrams and severed goat's heads all over it.
that's probably
they won't want to touch it.
I know, it's like, I don't know what to think about that. It's like, they'd be cursed if they touched it.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'll treat it very carefully.
Hold one moment. I'm going to get a charger because I don't want my computer to die. I forgot. Sorry.
I don't know how you put up with her for 10 days or whatever it was. Ugh.
Let's see what her degrees are.
I think she has a master's. But I think that Trident Technical College on the right, and then University of Bridgeport, I think, is on the left. I think that's what her master's is. For being an educated person, she should have remembered to bring her charger. I would have plugged it in already. Just saying.
Sorry.
Welcome back.
Hi.
Charger was upstairs. Okay. Continue on with your conversation.
No.
I mean, that was it. I mean, it was just pretty much silence when you were gone. That. So we're just like, we'll just cut that part out. So. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Okay, so you sent a bunch of stuff over ahead. It was ahead of time or like the same time you guys were flying out? Okay.
And so we get to eat. We get to Entebbe. We find all of our boxes, and then we load them on these. How many passenger vans? Like how many? I don't even remember. How many people got in those vans? 3, 6. There was
four
like
or five.
3, 6, 9 people. 12 people go in those vans, right? Each row held 3. Yeah, so you get in these
vans,
and they load the top of them with all of this stuff, all of our luggage, everything, and they cover it with tarps. It's incredibly impressive how they load and pack these vans to keep them from getting wet and dirty. And I mean, because these are very dusty roads, and so they load it up, and that takes some time. And then we embark on our 5-hour journey to Missindi, which is the terrifying. Okay, so I've done this before. So give the world your experience.
So a lot of vehicles here don't have any front. Like the engine is, the vans especially, the engine is like in the undercarriage. And so the traffic
intense.
In Kampala is like is bumper to bumper, and it's... You see your life flashing.
We should share your 5-minute video on the Facebook page.
Oh yeah, I have a few of them. But yeah, you just like you can't believe that people drive like this.
Because
I wasn't
on the way there?
In the passenger seat. I wasn't in the back.
Right.
On that first drive through. Yeah. So it was mortifying. But. It's a really lively, fun.
It really is.
To,
I mean,
to drive through
there is no structure. I mean, other than you drive on one side of the road or the other, but you, yeah, mostly. I mean, there's really no structure.
Mostly.
Like that, you just are winging it. No, there's no traffic lights.
There's no traffic.
I saw
no
one roundabout.
I don't remember a single one.
And that's about it. Yeah, no traffic lights.
Nice.
No, a lot of horn honking, a lot of almost crashing in the back of people. I mean, there's it's intense, to say the least.
Yeah. People.
So it was all like.
They do
I didn't even experience that because I was in the back
stop.
Most of the time. They do a little crab claw.
A little crab claw.
Crab claw.
But
yeah,
I will say, though, I am incredibly impressed. I think why we don't drive like that is because none of us are defensive drivers. Like, we're in another world when we drive. Or listening to music or, I don't know, like on our phone or talking to somebody. Like, they are on guard at all times because you never know who will be T-boning you. And so they need to know when to swerve or... stop or whatever. So they are very defensive drivers. It's incredibly impressive and scary at the same time.
Was it mostly passenger
Botas,
vans like
Bota
yours
Botas.
Or was they have a lot of motorcycles and stuff too?
Oh, everything.
A lot of motorcycle. I mean, when we got to Kampala, like
everything.
The major cities, there's like Toyota 4Runners and Sequoias and like Toyota, like half truck, half cab, like kind of vans. But then, I mean, when you're out in the villages, it's more like the motorcycle, like they call them Bota Botas, and then whatever we have, which was more like their taxis, which is like a 12 passenger van. So if you are in a taxi like that, can you imagine like being the person in the very back and then having to get out at a stop? Like you're disturbing the whole vibe of the van. I can't imagine.
One guy had a camel.
Oh, I missed the camel. One there was somebody with a camel?
Going around in this camel.
There was a camel in Uganda?
Yeah, it was the second day. He was walking right by
the hotel. Oh, at the hotel.
Going right by the hotel.
That's excellent.
Nice.
And so we go, that's a 5-hour journey. Daniel and I were in separate vans at this point, but I didn't drink hardly anything on the flight there. And then they give us water, and I drank like half a bottle of water, and then got in the van, and everything is very vibrating, bouncy, and immediately had to go to the bathroom. For a 5-hour, like, they're not stopping for at least 2 hours into this. Oh, and I had to go to the bathroom. So we had this amazingly adorable family on the trip with us, the Jarretts. And it was like mother, father, and their 4 kids who are all awesome. And their little godson, and then our medical director and me. And I was like, I feel like I might have to go to the back of this van and pee in a bottle. Like, I don't want to be the one to stop this little caravan that we got going, but I'm pretty miserable at this point. So eventually we stopped, and when I say we stopped for a bathroom, it is a hole in the ground. It gives a whole new meaning to porta potty. So anybody who's ever complained and whined about the smell, the look, all of anything that has to do with the porta potty, I'm just going to tell you to thank your lucky stars next time that you go into that. You don't know anything. Nothing.
You don't know that.
The dirtiest porta potty that you've ever stepped foot in has nothing on the cleanest hole in the ground, and you got.
Times a thousand.
Yeah. You open the door and it's like.
Like a plague of flies just flying up at you.
Mainly because somebody just took a crap in there, and that's why.
Yeah.
Super special. So we stopped, had one little stop, and then we went to the hotel. What was your first thoughts on the hotel, Daniel?
Oh, man.
Me too.
I liked it. I liked
so
the
this
hotel
place
a lot.
That we stay in, Missindi.
Much better than I thought from the picture.
When did him and Way stay there? You remember? He stayed there after an accident, right?
Well, it was built in 1923. I don't know when.
I think the story goes that Hemingway was in some kind of an accident in either southern Sudan or Uganda, and this is where he stayed while he healed and got better. So Hemingway stayed there. It's an adorable, very simple, but very nice hotel, which was amazing when I stayed there the first time, because I was expecting to sleep like on the ground or something. I don't know what I was expecting, but it was not this place.
So how big is the city or the town that the hotel's in?
It's hard to tell. It really is hard to tell. I mean, there's no infrastructure, so you don't know how many people are actually live in this immediate area, because everybody's so spread out.
I mean, do they have like stores? Like, I mean,
yeah, it's outdoor more of like markets, a temporary that, like, you know, building that they created to have a market.
Yeah, a lot of people actually live in the shop, like the front end.
I mean,
of the store,
you see, that's the one thing. Like driving through the major cities like Kampala and things like that, you see giant leather sofas outside.